Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm bringing you something all about data, technology, you know, stuff that me at my age, I've hardly got a clue, but I'm going to learn from Blake Burton. He is the executive director of DC2. For those of you that don't know, you're about to find out, and their ASX code, surprise, surprise, is DC2. And welcome, Blake Burton. Great to see you. Lots to talk about today, but before we get into it, Some people won't know what DC2 is. They might think it's an aeroplane or something, but give us a little overview of who are DC2.
Yeah, thanks, Gary, and thanks for the introduction. So DC2, I always like to say we're a provider of data center and cloud services. We've got behind me our big Bibra Lake facility. We're currently in the process of getting it what's called Tier 3 accredited, which I'll talk a bit about later. So we've got the data center, cloud services. We've got an ISO 27001 cloud platform. We've also got a modular data center division, which I'll talk about. Essentially build data centers, containerized data centers, put them on power generation sites, so wind farms, solar farms, and at the moment we're hosting a lot of crypto mining equipment. So we'll, again, talk about that as well.
These are all big growth sectors. Tell them, when did you list?
It's coming up to almost a year. I think it was November 10th last year. So just under a year ago was the listings, and lots happened since then.
A lot has happened, and you've just done, you've just raised some more money. What was that for?
Yeah, so it was quite interesting. When we listed, and especially in the modular side of the business, what we kind of anticipated the demand to be like it's just exceeded all expectations. We've kind of really starting to ramp up. We had a few material contracts come through over the last few months. We've also got more and more customers wanting to get on board in the modular side of the business. So the money's there.
Hang on a second. What do you mean by the modular side of the business?
Yeah, so the modular side is what we call DC Modular. These are the containerized modular data centers that we put on renewable energy sites. So currently we're active in the Midwest. We've got one live in the Midwest, and we're literally ramping up.
Sorry, that's capacity. The Midwest of WA.
Oh, WA, yeah, sorry. Yep,
I'm because just talking to our West Australia. Right, I know Western Australia is all of its own little thing, and Bibra Lake is also Western Australia. But ladies and gentlemen, Blake, we talk to everybody.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Just letting you know, Midwest of WA, ladies and gentlemen.
So, well, actually, as part of the race, we're actually going to Victoria next year as well. So not Midwest is our first site. So don't worry, we're going to be a national player. That's early next year. We'll be in Victoria as well.
Early next year. So those funds are going into the modular as well as the Bibra Lake.
Bibra Lake, yeah. So we're working on getting our what's called our Tier 3 design accreditation. So I try not to get too technical, but essentially with a Tier 3 independent institute, the Uptime Institute, they come in and certify that we can keep customers' data online, for lack of a better word, 99.982% of the time, I think it is. It's a minimum accreditation we need to go after big customers, government, enterprise, now even some medium-sized businesses. So the funds we have is going to get us Tier 3 design accredited by the end of this calendar year, by the end of December 2021.
Blake, what's the market like? I mean, what is it growing rapidly? I'm sure that COVID has meant that data centers have become even more important in, I guess, the around the world, really.
Yeah, it's a really, really exciting space to be in. And I'll split this into two segments. So we've got the Bibra Lake side of the business. We've got the Tier 3, the ISO 27001 cloud platform. That's your metropolitan, you know, your Perth, your Sydney, the bigger businesses. Obviously, it's growing. Like, everyone knows that. You see things like Zoom, you see things like Microsoft Office 365. Everyone's moving across to the cloud. That's all hosted in a data center, you know, which we have as well. So we're seeing strong demand there. The biggest thing for us was getting the accreditation on our cloud platform, which happened in July, and then getting this tier accreditation by the end of the year, because you can't really talk to these bigger customers until you have them. So we're seeing, I mean, our 4C came out today. You'll see we've had 20% recurring revenue growth over the last quarter as well. So definitely demand's coming from that side of the business, but also the DC modular. So I'll talk a bit about that, because what our aim of that business is to build modular containerized data centers and place them directly on power generation sites. Now, that's important because we access wholesale pricing, globally competitive pricing. So in turn, we can offer cheap prices to our customers. The things like crypto mining or digital currency mining, people are starting to call it now. All of a sudden in Australia, it becomes cost effective to do it. Before, you could not host this sort of stuff in Australia because you wouldn't make any money. Now we're getting customers, coming from China, people coming from overseas. There's been a big clamp down in China. So there's a big, that kind of hyperscale computing. There's been a big kind of change in dynamics there, and we're building up this division to be able to take a slice of that market. Now 4C today.
With the modular systems, and you say that you're at renewable sites, renewable power sites.
100%. That's our focus for sure. Yeah.
Given that you've got to be, live 99.982% of the time, surely when the wind doesn't blow or the sun doesn't shine, you got no power. How does that work?
Yeah. So this is where the focus is the ESG side business. We're on the wind farm. We have an agreement with them. If the wind's not blowing, they have a backup supply of electricity. So we make sure there's always electricity coming through. We're not sure 100% what that blend will be of that backup power, but we've actually got a site coming online next year over in Victoria, which is a biogas facility. So that's actually what should be 100% of the time biogas coming through, which would be quite exciting.
Is that important to DC2, the sort of the ECG and, you know, because data centers obviously chew up a lot of power.
Yeah.
Is that part of what DC makes you stand apart, that you're really focused on making sure that there's the use of renewables? Is that an important part of the mix?
It's a big sustainability play, right? Because you've got to kind of look at the, like you said, the data center space chews through a lot of power, and you kind of say, look, there's a massive growth in the industry. There's a massive growth in data consumption, but you don't want to do it in a way that's going to be a detriment to the world, to future generations. I'm still quite young myself, but you know, you've got to make sure it's sustainable moving forward. And that's why we like our model. No one else in Australia is doing this. We place them directly on the power generation side, directly on the renewable energy sites, because it's just a win-win for everyone.
You just said nobody else is doing it. Have you been able to button down those sites so that others can't get in? In other words, have you made sure that you're first mover advantage, or is it fairly low barrier to entry?
Yeah, well, I mean, these modulars, the parts we've built, things like PDUs, I mean, this has been years
in the making. What's a PDU?
A power distribution unit. So essentially the idea of these modular containers, these modular data centers, is you want to get as much power as you can into a small amount of space, because hyperscale computing, any really, really high performance computing, crypto mining is the most obvious example at the moment because that's going nuts. They chew through a lot of power. So our whole idea was, look, let's get this thing as cost effective so we can get as much power as we can into a short amount of space and into a small area of space. So this took years to develop. So we've got the IP there. Like you said, now it's about getting those agreements with the power generation sites before someone else comes in and goes, wait a minute, these guys are onto something here, let's do it ourselves. No one can just do that overnight. This has taken us years to get there, but at the same time, we've got to make sure we keep moving with this because eventually people will wise up to the fact.
Maybe we shouldn't be talking about this on this
one. I know, yes. Get everyone to sign NDAs.
Everybody watching, you've all got to now sign an NDA because we don't want, and you're probably going to invest, so, we don't want the opposition to come in. Let's talk numbers. Blake, let's talk numbers. Your quarterly is out this week. What were those numbers like? Give us the top level revenue and what that quarterly looked like.
Yes, our focus is really always on the recurring revenue growth. So during the quarter and in prior quarters as well, and we highlighted this in our 4C, there has been some one-off payments received in prior quarters that we've now booked as revenue in this quarter just because of accounting standards. Essentially, we sell some crypto mining equipment to someone. Once we turn it on, we book it as revenue. So they're now revenue generating. We do have some of this one-off revenue coming through, but I just want to highlight that's not our focus. We'll sell this equipment to people because we want the hosting. We want the recurring revenue, and that's why we always focus on the recurring revenue. So if it makes sense for us to do that, we will do it. So 20% recurring revenue growth for the quarter. And a couple of things we wanted to highlight to the market in this 4C. One is the tier three accreditation. We're planning on having that by the end of the quarter. Now that's the accreditation we need when we start going after the bigger customers, getting the enterprise, those bigger customers starting to move in. We're having those conversations now. We've already started tendering on work. We're having the conversations now because these customers don't just move in next week. Yeah. That can take 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. So you start having these conversations early in preparation for that. The other thing we really wanted to highlight was the modular side of the business. So at the end of September, we had, in terms of power, 176 kilowatts of capacity. So bear with me here. It's in the 4C for reference, so don't worry if you ever have to refer back, but 176 kilowatts of power at the end of September. By the end of this month, we've got 600 kilowatts of power of capacity available. By the end of December, that goes up to 2 megawatts of capacity of power. Like I was saying before, we've already announced some material contracts and we've got other customers wanting to come through. But it's really important for us to highlight this because we did the raise to make sure that we could honor the contracts that we've announced to make sure we can get additional customers on board, but now also show customers, guys, this is how quickly we're ramping up over the next few quarters.
Is a data center a data center? I want to try and, for investors, for people that are looking at DC2 and saying, yep, I can see the growth and I can see the recurring revenue, which, by the way, I liken it, Blake, to, it's like storage facilities, isn't it? You know, if I go and book storage every month, I just get charged. And it's too much of a pain in the neck to move it all out and try and figure out what to do with it. So, yeah, just leave it there for the moment. So it's a beautiful revenue model because I guess once your customers are in, they're sticky.
Well, exactly it, right. And I think this is why people love the data center and cloud services space so much because, you know, it's quite CapEx intensive initially. You've got to build the facility, you've got to get the infrastructure in, you've got to put it all together. But once it's built, you know, this is where you start getting customers on board. Like you're saying, you start building out the facility and it becomes really about that free cash flow. It's that initial CapEx, get it built, get the sales team, get them selling. And then from there, you start to see the money coming in. And on that as well, I mean, we had this month, we've got 2 salespeople on our staff. By the end of this year, we'll actually bring online another 2 salespeople as well. So we're really getting ready to start ramping up because, you know, we're building all these data centers, we're building all these facilities, but we want to make sure customers are still coming in, which so far so good.
Right now you're focused in WA, as we spoke about before, and also down in Victoria.
Yeah.
Is your focus purely Australian or are you going to be looking international?
Yeah, it's funny. Look, I personally would say definitely Australia. Like we've got to concrete ourselves, not just here, like in Perth, but start looking over east. But then you get to the point and go, wait a minute, the IP that we've built, the model we have, this actually could be replicated anywhere else in the world. You know, we've got Southeast Asia on our doorstep, especially with the modular data center division. You know, this is easily something that we can start looking at other markets. So I'd say, look, not in the near term. It's not on our radar. There's a lot of opportunity here in Australia. But yeah, absolutely, you could start looking overseas, and doing that sort of stuff.
Blake, with those modular units, who's your customer? Is it the renewable energy provider? Do you go to them and say, listen, we want to do a deal with you? And how does it work? Is it a joint venture or are you just purely taking the power and paying for it?
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. There are people out there that build these module containerized data centers, their own ones, and sell them to someone. I think that is charged for maintenance. So just on that, Victoria, we are going to them as our own data center provider. It's our data center. We're putting it on their site. We'll just pay them for power every month. You know, we have our agreements with them, but they've also said, wait a minute, this is a cool concept. Can you build us one? So we can do that. It's not really our priority. There is definitely a commercial opportunity there, but there's other people doing that. We much prefer to own the data center, own the IP. It's all ours. And, you know, we're just setting up these sites in locations that make sense. And then we have that direct relationship with the customer and offer them the power, offer them the hosting.
I think I mentioned before, but I'm not sure that we got to the heart of it. What is it that makes DC2 different from other providers? Is it just the modular unit?
No. So the modular unit is exciting because there's just so much going on there at the moment and no one else in Australia is, you know, adopting this model yet. So that's why we do get really excited about it. But going back to the Bibra Lake facility that's right behind me, once that becomes tier 3 accredited, we've also got what's known as an ISO 27001 cloud platform. We're the only provider in WA with both. So here at the moment, either you've got your own accredited cloud platform, you sell someone else's data center services, or you've got your own data center and you sell someone else's cloud services. And no one else in Australia has that integrated model like we do. Yeah, exactly. And over east, it's a bit more common. Companies like Macquarie Telecom, you know, they're adopting this vertically integrated model, but no one's yet doing it here. So, there's opportunities all around.
Is it difficult? I mean, the Bibra Lake facility, as an example, has that been around for a while in your portfolio? Because what I'm thinking is, cost of land in Australia is getting more and more expensive. When you, as you grow and as you look for more facilities, do you think one of the challenges might be finding, sites that are going to be appropriate for your growth?
It is a tough one with the data center space. So this facility here, it was actually mostly finished when we moved in, and we've signed, you know, a long-term lease to make sure that we secure that, because it is quite hard to find a site, like you're saying. But yeah, when we start looking over east, it whether we build our own data center or whether we just focus on cloud services or just focus on the modular area of the business, I mean, that's the discussion that we have at the board level, because a data center requires an insane amount of capital to be able to build it. So you've got to be able to justify that as well. I mean, Perth is a nice market for us because we established here, we've got customers here already. We've definitely got an advantage here. When we start looking over east, I don't know if it would be us actually having the data center site over there and a cloud platform, or whether we just look at the cloud platform and then just look at the regional modular data centers.
You said it's quite capital intensive for the build. Why is that? To me, it just looks like a big shed.
Yeah, if only.
Where's the capital? What takes up, again, as an investor, what I want to know is if you've just, and look, let's keep it simple for me. If you've got a shed, Bibra Lake, and you've spent the money to get that to where it is, how easy is it to add another shed on? I mean, where's the cost? Where's the money to be spent if you wanted to expand that facility?
Yeah, certainly. So a lot of the initial cost is, I mean, I pick something, so chillers. So we have to buy these massive, massive chillers, and not just one. You've got to, with the tier three accreditation, the idea is the M+1 or the M+N, where if something goes down, you've got the dual pass. So everything we do, we have to do two of. So not just that the helps. Chillers, you've got things like switchboards, you've got copper, which is really, really expensive at the moment. We've got just an insane amount of copper running through the building as well. So it's all that initial spend to be able to have the comms, have the connectivity in there. And then from there, you've got the shed, the shell that you can see behind. You have then little internal data rooms, data holes, what we call them, within the facility. And that's where you start building out as you acquire more customers.
So it's more, and it's quite specialized, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, just the engineering alone as well. It's not cheap.
Yeah, I bet. Like, what attracted you to DC2? I mean, you've got a background. I think, didn't you work for KPMG back in the day?
Or PwC.
Yeah, I started out as an auditor. Oh, dear, yep. Peter. Never mind KPMG. You missed out a good one. What was the transition to come over to DC2? What attracted you to have a look at this company and to get on board as an executive director?
Yeah, so essentially I started at PwC as an auditor, so don't judge me, it was quite boring, ticking financial statements and such. Yeah. But when I was quite young, I actually started with a friend of mine what's called a web hosting business. Web hosting, essentially, easiest way to say it is you put websites on the internet. So we built that up to about just under 4,000 customers, and now Webhost hosts their data in a data center. We had our own servers, our cloud platform, our stack, whatever you want to call it, hosted in a data center. So I've been around the industry for a while. I've seen the change and dynamics in the industry, and I can see where the industry is growing now. I can DC2 appeal to me because I like the model of what they're doing. It's not just, oh, we're building a data center, we're going to compete with NextDC. No, it's that integrated model. It's having the data center services. It's having the cloud platform services. It's going to a customer. We can hold your hand if you need some management on top, if you need all these additional services. I personally believe that's a key differentiator in the market, because you're never going to compete with the massive Equinixes, NextDCs of the world. Yeah. They're just too big, but I like where they're heading, and I can see that's where the industry is heading in terms of that niche. And then you start looking at the crypto mining space, the high density computing, and that in itself is, yeah, amazing.
So for investors that are out there, we are now coming into November. What's going to be the news flow in the coming months for DC2?
Yep. Key one for us is the tier three design accreditation. Right. So we'll make sure that we keep the market updated on that. So we're aiming to have that by the end of this calendar year, end of December. Another key one is, like we were saying, the Midwest site, 176 kilowatts to 600 to 2 megawatts as well. And I want to highlight with investors, anyone listening, you keep in mind it's recurring revenues. So yeah, we've got 600 kilowatts of power capacity online now. That means, you know, once that's full, this quarter would only be 2 months of recurring revenue, but the next quarter, as long as those customers stay, you've got 3 months of recurring revenue as well. And that's why I like that model, is because as customers come online during the quarter, it's not like it's just one off. It starts to really compound, and that's where things get interesting, especially as you go up to 2 megawatts of capacity, especially as we start getting more sales resources on the ground here in Perth and get the Bibra Lake facility filled out. You actually start to see that compounding growth come through. And you know, you've seen it with so many other companies before, like your Macquarie Telecoms or your NextDCs. But I think that's really our focus over the next few months, is getting this tier accredited, additional sales resources coming on board, ramping up the Midwest, and then, you know, we hit next year running, hit the ground running.
But I guess that facility, the Bibra Lake facility, you can only grow so much and then it's full. Do you then just increase your prices?
Well, that's another question to have, and it's a good problem to have once this gets full. I think we'll have another call and we'll discuss and look back on this conversation. But exactly. That'll happen at some point where you go, okay, this facility is now at capacity. What do we do? Do we set up another site here in Perth? Do we start really expanding over east? It'll be a good problem when it happens, and it's something to decide in the future.
When do you think you'll be full at this particular facility at Von Bibra? Have you got a thought process on that?
Yeah, everyone asks me that, and I don't like giving forward-looking statements or anything. Look, to be fair, it will take years. I couldn't give you an exact time, and it's going to be that not only do we fill it out with co-location customers, it's also those cloud services customers. I love cloud services. That's more like what your AWS, your Amazons do. Really, really profitable, a lot more revenue per rack. We kind of say to people, co-location, you're looking at about $1,600 a month revenue per rack. Cloud services, we get 50,000 plus per month in each rack. So we can do that. Any salesperson that comes on board, I go, sell cloud services. It's really profitable. But you'd never fill this data center just with cloud services. This is going to be that mix of co-location and cloud. So, over time, we'll announce to the market what that's looking like.
I love your enthusiasm, Blake, and I love the fact that you can see the growth. And I think for investors out there, it is a growth industry, which is important to say, but we're running out of time. And Blake, I need to find out, it's what I ask all of my interviewees, 3 reasons why investors should be sitting up and taking notice of DC2. How easy is it to remember your code, DC2, right now?
Yep. So 3 different things. I'd say one, as I've kind of said, we're highly leveraged to that data growth. You know, we're in the industry where as the data grows, people need to host it somewhere. Look right behind me, that's where it is. One, with the modular side of the business and what we're doing in the crypto space, we really are like a mining services company for the ever-growing crypto space. So if you're kind of interested in the crypto space, don't necessarily want to buy Bitcoin or anything directly. We're supplying these guys to be able to mine that sort of stuff. And then lastly, I'd say the recurring revenue growth, 20% recurring revenue growth quarter on quarter, and we're not even fully built yet. So, as things start to expand, our capacity expands, we expect that revenue growth to start increasing.
Fantastic. And as he said just before, and what is the thing? I think it was Warren Buffett that said, it's almost the 8th wonder of the world is compound growth. And that's what Blake talked about earlier. So it's the compound growth, which is probably going to be very good for shareholders, although this is not financial advice, ladies and gentlemen. Blake Burton, Executive Director, DC2, thanks for all your enthusiasm. We wish you well with all of the growth. And let's have a chat again in the new year.
Thank you, Kerry. That sounds good to me. I appreciate it.